You turn to chapter 6 of Galatians. Galatians chapter 6. I'm going to read the last portion of this chapter from verse 11 to the end, where we read, "Ye see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." We read here in verse 14 this tremendous verse in which Paul speaks of that in which he glories, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's glorying is not in man, not in himself, not in works, not in those whom he has seen brought to life in Christ, in the church. He doesn't glory in the numbers in the churches. He doesn't glory in the size of the churches. He doesn't glory in anything which is of man or in man. His glorying is in Christ and his cross. Unlike the legalist of whom he speaks in verse 13. For the legalist and those who had sought to lead the Galatians astray gloried in self. They gloried in their works. They gloried in their effects upon others. They would have the Galatians to be circumcised that they might glory in their flesh. That they might say, "Look at those who follow us. Look at this great company and how they live. Look at the effects of our teaching. Look at the numbers we have." That they may take pride not just in their own conduct, but in their effects upon others and the numbers who follow. Their glorying is not in Christ alone, not in his cross, but in man, his works. In numbers. You see, they're like today, where much of religion glories in its effects, glories in the numbers who follow. How much a religion seeks to have the people come in, seeks to attract, seeks to build up. Where despite all the talk, all the use of Christ's name, the reality is that the glorying is not in Christ, but in the flesh. In the flesh. Lest they suffer persecution for the cross of Christ and the message of that cross. Not so Paul. Paul gloried in the cross. Paul gloried in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. God forbid that he should glory in anything else. For in the cross, he saw deliverance, salvation, redemption, justification. He saw in the cross the complete separation of the flesh from the spirit, of this world from the next, of heaven and the things of heaven from earth and the things of the earth. Paul looked through the cross at the glory to come. He looked through the cross, seeing his sins taken away and his sin taken away, and the righteousness of God by the faith of Jesus Christ imputed unto him. He looked through the cross out of darkness into light, out of self unto Christ, out of this world into the heights of glory to come. Yes, Paul gloried in the cross. He gloried in the cross because upon the cross he saw his Saviour crucified for him. A Saviour whose love overwhelmed Paul. A Saviour whose power Paul saw was invincible. A Saviour whose wisdom and knowledge is beyond compare. A Saviour whose righteousness is without blemish, without spot, perfect in everything. A Saviour whose glory is brighter than the noonday sun. Yes, Paul gloried in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. For in the cross, he saw his Saviour crucified for him. And he saw himself crucified with Christ upon that cross. And he saw in Christ his salvation. He saw in him his Lord, his King, one who loved him, though he deserved his wrath and judgment. One who set his mercy upon him, though he deserved his condemnation. One who looked upon Paul, a wretched, rebellious sinner, no longer in anger, but in mercy, love, and forgiveness. Yes, Paul gloried not in self, but in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you? In what do you glory? In what do you rejoice? This world, the things of this world, that which you have done, that which you will do, your hopes, your dreams, your ambitions, or do you glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ? The cross. The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom Paul says, the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. The cross. Of course, by the cross here, Paul speaks not simply of that upon which Christ was crucified. He speaks not simply of the instrument of torture, awful though it is, but he speaks of what happened to and in Christ as he died upon it. He speaks of the doctrine of the cross. He glories in the wonderful doctrine, the wonderful teaching, the meaning of the cross. And he glories in the doctrine of the cross specifically. Not only the blood of Christ shed upon it, Not only the blood that washed away his sins, those sins which he had committed, but here in Galatians, Paul's glorying is specifically in the doctrine of the cross. For there is that set down in Scripture which concerns the shedding of blood in Christ's death, which washes away our sins. And there is that set down in Scripture which concerns the crucifixion of the old man Adam upon the cross, which takes away our sin. What we are. Not just what we've done, but what we are in ourselves. Paul's glorying is in that doctrine, which not only washed him clean on the outside, which not only blotted out that which he had done, but that which transformed and changed him and took away that which he was and made him something new in Christ, who died and suffered in his place upon the cross. The doctrine of the cross. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. The effects of the cross, the doctrine of the cross, what Christ wrought upon the cross, the effect of the cross is total. It's total. Upon the cross, the flesh, the old nature, what we are in Adam as fallen sinners, is slain, crucified, destroyed. The flesh, the old man, is not merely forgiven and told to go on and never sin again. But the old man is destroyed, he's slain, that we might rise again. Not in Adam. Not as some patched up improvement of what we once were. But that we might rise again new in Christ. A new man with a new life. A new nature. The flesh is slain, not forgiven, it's taken away, not improved, it's destroyed, not added to. Taken away. The doctrine of the cross, as I say, is not about our sin specifically, but our sin, what we are in Adam. This is the concluding heights to which Paul reaches in the book of Galatians, in which he's taught out our deliverance from the law. For the law concerned the old man as it was in Adam, man in this world, man born of the flesh, in order to condemn man in this world, to shut him up guilty before God, and to give him nowhere to go but to the cross, to show him that he cannot be improved, to show him that the law and any rule of righteousness cannot be used to improve himself, but that he is utterly condemned and slain under it. And his only deliverance, his only salvation is to be found in that which gives him a new life, a new nature, that which makes him a new creature, that which makes him anew. And to this end, Paul never once mentions the blood in Galatians, for he's not speaking of the forgiveness of our sins here, but how we might be delivered from the flesh, that we should live and walk in the Spirit. How we might be saved, transformed, given a new life, made new creatures in Christ. He speaks of a total and a radical change, a radical salvation. He speaks of the problem of our old man, our sin, that which dwells within us, the corruption within, and our deliverance from it. Not what we've done, but what we are, our flesh, our old nature, our old man in Adam. That is what must be crucified. That is what had to be slain. And that is what was crucified in Christ upon the cross. As Paul cries out in verses 19 and 20 of Galatians 2, he says, I through the law am dead to the law that I might live unto God. Because for this reason, because I am crucified with Christ. I'm crucified. It's not simply that Christ was crucified for me, but I was there in him. I died with him. When Christ was nailed to the tree, nailed to the cross, when the wrath of God was poured out upon the sins of his people in him, when it was poured out upon their sin in him, that which he was made to be in their place, they were crucified with him. Yes, I am crucified with Christ, he says. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. But righteousness never came by the law, because the law was sent to condemn what I was in Adam, in the flesh. And that was slain, was crucified with Christ, and it's taken away. And righteousness comes by faith of Jesus Christ, who died in my stead and rose again. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. He rose and I rose with him. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That faith by which the righteousness of God was brought in judgment upon the cross for me, by which sin was judged against that standard of righteousness, the very righteousness of God, by which sin was blotted out until sin was no more, and all that was to be seen was Christ, light, perfection, purity and righteousness, and everlasting life. And there is my life. I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. The law respected the old man. The old man has been crucified. The law has been nailed to the cross with the old man. Nailed to the cross and taken away. As we read in Colossians, it's been nailed. The handwriting of ordinances, that law was nailed to the cross, nailed with Adam, nailed with Saul as he once was. I am crucified with Christ. That law nailed me to the cross. And under it I died. Yet that law having been taken away, I rise again, dead to the law, but alive unto God. I rise that I might live unto God. I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. Yes, the cross respects the old man. That is what must be crucified. And that is what was crucified. The doctrine of the cross is about deliverance. Deliverance from sin. from the flesh, from the old man, from the old nature, and from all that concerns and respects the old man, from the world, from that in which the old man was made, that in which he lives, this earth, this world, this sphere, time itself. When Saul was crucified with Christ, he was crucified unto the world. He glories in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto him, and he unto the world. Why? Because the world was that in which his old man lived, that in which the old man was concerned. The old man was of the earth, earthy, of this natural realm, fallen, evil, rebellious, corrupt. And all that is of this world respects that old man. The law which was given to condemn him and shut him up unto Christ concerned his conduct in this world. It commanded his worship of God in this world. It commanded his conduct towards other men in this world. It commanded his keeping of the Sabbath in this world. It commanded his not coveting the things of this world. It commanded his not committing adultery as those who are married and given unto marriage in this world. But in the cross, Paul is crucified unto this world, and the world is crucified unto him. He's alive in Christ. He's alive in another world where there is no marriage, no male, no female, where there are no days, no 6 days of labour and a seventh day of rest, but an eternal Sabbath, an everlasting Sabbath. Every day in that world to come is the Sabbath rest in Christ. Paul is alive in that world, that heavenly kingdom to come. As he rose in Christ, he rose a new creature, a new man, still dwelling in this world for the time being. But in his mentality, in his thoughts, in his life within, in that life of the Spirit, that new life within his heart, he's in another world. Another world, another place, a heavenly kingdom. He's crucified unto this world. And this world is crucified unto him. Yes, the cross concerns deliverance, deliverance from all of that. Sin, the flesh, the old man, and the world. And the law concerned all of that. The law, we read, is the strength of sin. The law is that which, when commanded towards the sinner, stirs up the sin within the old man, the flesh. It stirs it up, it kindles it like a fire is kindled. And in stirring it up, the man falls and stumbles and sins all the more, and the condemnation of the law comes down upon him. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Sin is that which dwells in our old man. The law concerning the old man was the strength of that sin. When it kindled it, when it strengthened it, the sin bubbled up to the surface. And the sin brought down the condemnation and death. Death reigns in the mortality of our old man in Adam. But in Christ, who delivered us from sin, who delivered his people at the cross, from sin, from the flesh, from the old man, in Christ, there is no more death. There is but everlasting life. Death is swallowed up in victory. So Paul can cry out, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? As Paul writes earlier in 1 Corinthians, there is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonour, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward that which is spiritual. The first man, Adam, is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we in Christ shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. All those in Christ, all those who have been crucified with him, they shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. No wonder Paul gloried in the cross, because he knew that the sting of death had been taken away. He knew that in the cross, the grave had no victory. Death was swallowed up in the victory of Christ upon the cross. When he was crucified with Christ, he died never to die again. When he was slain with Christ, he died to rise again in almighty power. In Christ, the flesh would be taken away forevermore. In Christ, sin would be blotted out, taken away, destroyed in the old man Adam. In Christ, the law was taken out of sight, never to condemn again. In Christ, there was deliverance. Total, complete, and everlasting deliverance. The cross delivers entirely, totally, forevermore from the old man, from sin, and from the world. And from the world. God forbid that I should glory, Paul says, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Yes, Paul says by the cross he is crucified unto the world, and the world unto him. What does he mean? What does he mean by the world? He means all that the world is, all that the world stands for, the love of the world, the love of the riches and the pleasures of this world, the mentality of the world, the thinking of this world, the attitudes of this world, the love of the world's applause, the world's acclaim, its praise, its glory. From this the cross separates. It severs. It parts. It crucifies. The world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Once Paul, in the heights of his religion as a Jew, as a Pharisee of the Pharisees, sought to approach unto God through his own works. And in so doing, he sought the glory and the praise that was to be found in religion in this world. He lived by the mentality of a wisdom below. He walked in the pride of his own life. He loved the applause of man. He wanted to be thought well of for his own righteousness. He sought the glory that can be found here below. The world. But when he came to see Christ crucified for him, when God arrested him in his sinful condition, when God showed Paul how utterly dark and blind he was, how utterly sinful he was before him, how corrupt he was, how even his righteousnesses, even his religion, even his good works were corrupt, when he saw face to face what he really was before God, and when he came face to face with Christ his Saviour, then everything changed. All his grip upon this world, all his seeking the praise and the glory that is to be found in this world, fell aside. When he looked upon Christ upon that cross, when he saw himself crucified with Christ upon that cross, his affections, his thoughts, his desires, his love was changed forevermore. All his grasping of all that is in this world came to an end. He sought none of this world's pleasure, none of this world's glory, none of this world's riches, none of this world's praise, even in the things of religion. He sought none of the praise of man. He cared not what men would say of him. He would gladly suffer persecution for the cross of Christ and the message of Christ's gospel. He'd suffer all men turning against him. He'd suffer all men crying out that he should die, as they cried out against his master that he should die. He cared no longer for this world. He cared only for Christ and his glory. Only for Christ and his kingdom. Only for Christ and the world to come. Only for the glory of the world to come. The world and all that it is and all that it means was crucified unto Paul, and he was crucified unto it. What do you know of this? Have you come this way? Have you come to the cross and seen the glory which is in the cross? Has it separated you from all that you were? All that you wanted, all that you desired, all that you gloried? Has Christ become so wonderful and glorious in your sight that all that is here below is so disgusting, so vile, so worthless in comparison? Paul gloried in the cross. Paul gloried in the cross because all that he was in Adam was slain in the cross. He was delivered from it and all that it was. And he gloried in the cross, for in the cross, as Christ rose from the dead, having taken away all sin, all condemnation, having wrought a great victory upon that cross, through the cross he rose in Christ with a new life, a new mentality, new thoughts, new affections, righteousness. He rose with Christ. Now I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Yes, the cross, the doctrine of the cross has a consequence. If we are slain, if we were crucified like Paul with Christ, if we were, then there's a consequence, a wonderful consequence, a tremendous consequence. If we were slain, then we have, we will, we do rise again in Christ. We rise again in Christ. We have new life in him. We die in the cross, but we rise again. Christ died and he rose again victorious. He's alive forevermore. He's alive today. He died and he rose again. Paul died and Paul rose again. If you died with Christ, then in Christ you rise again. Do you believe it? Do you know him? Do you know Christ? Do you know his life? Have you risen with him? Many will scoff at the truth that Christ truly rose from the dead. At this time of year, the world will be brought to hear that Christ died and Christ rose. And the natural man scoffs at the possibility. You and I scoff at the possibility in our natural state. It's not normal to us. Death is the normality. We think we live, we die, we live, we die, and that's all that can be. And yet the scriptures testify of a certainty that Christ rose from the dead. Well, do you believe it? Well, I tell you that you will only believe that Christ rose from the dead if you too rise from the dead. If you rise from the dead yourself, then in that hour, at that moment, you will look and you will believe that Christ rose for you. That's when you believe, and not before. You will believe that Christ rose because, by the power of the Spirit of God under the preaching of the gospel, you're brought to be risen from the dead yourself. You who were once dead in trespasses and sins, you who were once slain in Adam, fallen in sin, corrupt, in the grave, walking dead, when you come to see the cross and what it means, when you come to see yourself crucified with Christ upon it, when you come to see your sins destroyed in him and in his flesh, and your sins washed away by his blood, when you come to see the Lord judged and answered in Christ upon the cross in your place, when you come to see him rising victorious over sin, death and hell, for you in particular, then and only then has the Spirit of God given you life. Life to see, life to believe. He opens your eyes, he opens your ears, he puts faith in your heart to look and to know and to see that that one who came out of the tomb, that that one who had power to lay down his life and to take it again, that that one who by whose mighty power the great stone upon the sepulchre was rolled away and could not hold him in the tomb, that that one rose again. When you see him risen, it's because you too have risen in him, alive. From the cross flows life. From the message of the cross, the gospel flows life, everlasting life, everlasting, glorious, eternal life. We've spoken before of the trees in the garden, that there are two trees. That one, the one that slew the old man Adam, that slew him and his wife when they disobeyed God, was called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they were dazzled by it. They thought its fruit was good to eat, but when they ate, it slew them. And there was another tree in the midst of the garden called the tree of life, which if they had eaten of it, they would have lived forever. And we've said that at the cross is as a tree of life to those that look unto Christ upon it. For in the cross there is everlasting life, and the tree of life is that which pictures Christ and his resurrection and his everlasting life and power. But truly at the cross both these trees meet. For it's the effect of the first tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that one that slew man, which was the reason why Christ should be slain. It's the first tree that slew him. It's the first tree, that law, that commandment, which nailed him to the cross, which nailed Paul in him to the cross, which nailed the sinner to the cross and condemned. But it's the tree of life, which could not be held to the cross, and which could not hold Christ and hold Paul in him to the cross, but which, because of that life that could not be taken away, that could not be quenched, that could not be held down, is that tree of life, Christ, by which all his people rise again in him. Yes, there are two trees. Here the trees meet. But the one is taken out of sight forevermore, and the other is lifted up in glory forevermore. And in that glory into which Paul looked as he looked through the cross out of the earth into the everlasting heavenly glory, in that glory he sees Christ sat victorious. In that glory he sees a tree of life in the midst of the kingdom of God, the holy city, the new Jerusalem, out of which flows a river of life. He sees that tree of life. He sees his Saviour. He sees him in the glory. And he looks out of this world through the cross at a sure and certain salvation in Christ, in whom he has life. Life. Life even now in this world, life even now as he journeys through this world, looking through the cross to that which will come. A new life, life of a different order, a life which is not of this world, but of another, a heavenly life, a life dwelt on things above, not earth below, a life that comes from Christ in the glory. Oh, where are your thoughts and affections? Are they above? Are they set upon Christ and his life? Or are they on the things below? The things of time and sense, the things of earth, of the old man Adam. Are they in Christ or in man? What do you know of this life, this heavenly life, this eternal everlasting life? This life that flows through the cross from the tree of life. Do you know it? Because it's real. It's real. Christ really rose from the dead. Christ really lives this day. Christ really reigns on high in glory. And Christ really reigns in the hearts of all those who have been brought to the cross to behold him crucified for them. And they crucified in him. And the world crucified unto them, and they unto the world. Those who look unto him and see everlasting life in their Saviour, slain for them. If you believe on this Christ who really rose from the dead, then it's because you have really risen from the dead. Well, have you? Are you looking? Are you looking to this cross? Is this in which you glory? Oh, Paul gloried in the cross, for in the cross he saw salvation. In the cross he had deliverance. In the cross he had everlasting life. But Paul gloried most in the cross, because it is the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he gloried in Christ his Saviour. He gloried in that one upon it. He gloried in him who loved him and gave himself for him. Do you glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ? Do you glory in Christ? Is he your Saviour? God forbid, God forbid, Paul says, that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Amen.